Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life Weekly Service. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki
Hunter. Douglas Kelly.
Happy Yuletide.
Dr. Vicki Hunter.
That's what I want to say. Happy Yuletide. It's exciting to be here.
Yes, it is. It's Wednesday, December 23rd, 2015. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, we have other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees. And so we'd like to welcome all of those of you who have joined us on this live program, as well as those of you who are listening to the archive version. We appreciate the time you're spending with us tonight. And, of course, tonight is a special evening for us. It's one of our four annual ceremonies, and tonight we're doing the rite of signature for the Southern Solstice, and we do that on or around the solstice and the equinoxes, various times of the year. And we'll get into that in a minute. Dr. Hunter is going to talk about a card that we're going to feature from the Inner Oracle card deck that kind of fits in with tonight's program and ceremony.
Well, it is. It's an energy shift, a new chapter in the existential suit of our Inner Oracle discovery card, self-discovery cards, number 14. And I'd like to read it because it does set the tone of what we're talking about tonight. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new. And that is what we do throughout Yuletide. And I know we're at December 23, but in December 21 was the actual winter solstice up here in the Northern Hemisphere, of course. And for my family, it's a very important time because as a true pantheist, I do celebrate and have lots of traditions through each of these changes. But now up here, we start to get an extra minute of daylight, another minute or two. And it's a very special time. So, in my view, it's also the new year. So that's just psychological, I think, I'm sure. But January 1 is not the new year. You know, December 22nd for me is a new year. So this energy shift, a new chapter is so appropriate. And in, doing our ceremony tonight. So I hope everybody has their candle ready because that is, we always light the flame and as we get started. So
this ceremony and all of them, all four of our ceremonies are really centered around the same theme, and that's equilibrium, recalibration, recentering, kind of taking a snapshot of where you're at right now, where you've been, where you're going. And that's what we want to talk about for a few minutes before we get into the actual ceremony. And so here it is, December 23rd, another year kind of flew by. Think about where you're at right now. Are you where you want to be? Well, maybe, maybe not. Are you where you thought you would be? You know, maybe not. Maybe you're in a place you didn't think you'd be. But it doesn't really matter. Everything that we do here, there's lessons in it for where we're at. It's our path. And so we've got to constantly look for those lessons contained in our circumstances. I mean, I love the quote by James Allen in the book As a Man Thinketh. He basically said, whatever circumstance you're in, once you learn the spiritual lesson contained in that circumstance, it will pass. It will go away. So if you're in what you might consider difficult circumstances, difficult situation, whatever that is, what's the spiritual lesson contained in that for you, your lessons for you? And sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out, but sometimes it's not. We can kind of get the idea. But once you figure out that lesson and then learn the lesson, those circumstances will pass. Now, one important thing to keep in mind here is there a difference between knowing a lesson and learning a lesson? And the answer is yes, absolutely. We can know things but not act on them. Or we can learn the lesson. And when we learn a lesson, we basically take our power back. We take control of it and we don it on, so to speak. And so we take our power back and we change. And that's the biggest thing about learning. When we learn something, we change. And so we can know something without learning it, but once we learn it, we change. So where have you been in the last, say, year or so, 6 months, whatever? Where are you at now, and where do you want to go? Those are all questions that you should ponder and meditate on them, and don't do it quickly. You know, don't do it this second, but after the program tonight, whenever you get some quiet time, think about that. You know, if you're not where you're at, why not? And be objective, be real. You know, don't incriminate yourself or don't denigrate yourself, but be realistic about it too. Maybe there were some lessons you should have learned but didn't learn. Well, welcome to life. We all have those. But you can take and learn those lessons and change the direction that you're going. I'll pause for a minute and let Dr. Hunter say anything if she wants.
No. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking 2015 has been a big challenge for me in a lot of ways, and I had to make a lot of challenges and a lot of decisions and changes. And as I was going through it, I said, I have no idea who I'm going to be on the other side of this. And, you know, a lot, there was some moves involved and, you know, a number of things. And I'm still discovering who I am as a result of big life changes. You know, no longer in the country. I now live in the city and no animals except for two cats. So it's a big life change. And it's interesting, though. We get stronger in different ways. We tap into elements of ourselves we didn't know existed. And, you know, there's some adjusting to do. And so I say this with all the kindness in my heart to those who have gone through, you know, changes and still going through them. Take your time. Don't be too hard on yourself about, geez, you have to have it all together, because you just don't know how things are going to change you, how life's going to change. But what is constant is how we respond. And that's, if there's any bit of wisdom that I can impart to people, is you are in control of how you respond to change. I'm in control of me. I'm the boss of me. I know who I am deep inside. And yes, I'm changing. We all change how we're going to navigate through life. But it's keeping your integrity and responding in a good, healthy, you know, and hopefully, you know, as happy as possible, in a joyful way as much as you can, because there's still lots to be joyful about. And on that note, I really do look forward to 2016 and all of its probably new challenges, but today's a good day. We're all here. We're on this program. We're connecting with some fantastic people, you know, in the chat room. So that's where we get into this moment and we start to look ahead. So that's part of the next part of what this ceremony is about. You look back, you suck it all up and, oh, take a breath. Look at where we're at, sitting in a chair, reading the chat room, connecting with people, Dr. Kelly, Michael, and of course Tracy Kelly is in the background there, and we're good. Then we project for what we want. And after our ceremony, we're going to just go over the do no harm and do right, because it's also you know, we think appropriate, and that's how we keep our integrity intact.
So as we endeavor here to recenter, recalibrate, find some equilibrium, you know, think about the areas of your life that you can do that. Is there things you've been neglecting that you should do? And we need to be realistic about that too. A lot of times we think we should do something, but it's more of a self-imposed thing that it doesn't really matter whether we do it or not, but we think we should, so we kind of beat ourselves up or kick ourselves for not doing it. Well, you need to reassess those things. Does it really need to be done? You know, if you don't get around to doing something that you don't really need to do, is that really procrastination? No, it's not. So reassess what you feel are your obligations. Make sure they're real. Make sure they're meaningful. Make sure they need to be done. And if you've been away from them, then get after them if they're important. And if you're a student of ours listening to this program, you know, and you've been away from your studies for a while, why not get back to them? Why not reassess why you enrolled in the first place and get back with your studies so that you can reach your objectives and your goals that you had set for yourself? You know, it's all of the stuff that we do here is critically important for getting the most out of life, for being more successful in life. I mean, you won't hear this kind of content really anywhere. It changes lives. It's powerful stuff. A lot of the things we talk about on these programs have changed, are changing lives. So think about where you're going to go and what you want to do over the next, say, 3 to 6 months or 12 months. What do you want to accomplish? And then what you do is you jump ahead. This is the art of writing your history in advance. Jump ahead to that point that you have reached that goal, whatever that goal is for you, and then work your way back. You know, you reached your goal. What did you do just before that? What did you do just before that step? And then before that step. And you work yourself all the way back. And so that can give you a different perspective on where you need to start. So that's the point of tonight's ceremony. And I suppose without any further ado, we can get into that. So if you have a candle and you would like to use it, then get ready is all I can say. And we'll start this ceremony. All right.
And with that, we light the flame.
With the lighting of the flame, we commence the rite of cynosure for the southern solstice, the time of year in which the sun is at its southernmost point on the celestial sphere directly over the Tropic of Capricorn. This is the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere and the summer solstice in the southern hemisphere. We invite all those who are able to now join us in lighting the ceremonial flame.
Through the universe, of which I'm a part, beats the energy of life, and into my heart, a flame of fire lights up my soul with will and desire for the world to know. The energy of life beats through my heart and through the universe, of which I'm a part.
With the lighting of the flame, we symbolically transfer the fire of our spirit to a visual representation that we can see and feel. For in this way, we are reminded of the power of this fire, the power of our spirit, the fire of our passion to fulfill our unique and individual purpose, the passion of our spirit to do no harm and to do right, the never-ending light and warmth contained within us that honors the divine nature of all life and regards all sentient life as equal, having one common origin in the stuff of stars. We are one planet and one race, with one ancestry and one destiny.
Connectedness.
The energy of our unfettered consciousness creates an expanded awareness of the profound connection that we have to one another, to all divine life, to Mother Earth, and to the universe. We pause in grateful acknowledgement of the universal consciousness that connects and unites us all. We take a moment of silence in honor, remembrance, and appreciation for the interdependent relationships we have with those closest to us and with all living things.
Responsibility.
We are connected to all things, and yet we are one. In each one of us lies the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately prevail in the face of any dilemma, to rise above any obstacle, to triumph over any challenge. We recognize the inherent responsibility we have as a race of adept beings to resolve the challenges before us and acknowledge that this is as it should be.
Self-completeness.
Cynosure is a light, a guide, a star. As the moon is the cynosure during the season of longer nights, we are attracted to and guided by the cynosure of the divinity within us. In our darkest hour, we are comforted and strengthened by the brilliant star imbued within our human spirit. As the flame before us is complete within itself and needs no other spark to sustain it, we too are complete within ourselves and need no other spark to sustain us. The synergy of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. We need nothing nor anyone outside ourselves, for the answers we seek already exist within us. Our flame, our star, our cynosure is within. We look there.
Equilibrium.
During the solstice season, we seek to reconcile the things unequal, to recalibrate the things unbalanced, to recenter our consciousness and awareness, to realign our thoughts with the fulfillment of our individual and unique purpose. We draw from the cycles, phases, and rhythms of the universe that continue in perfect harmony from time immemorial. We attune the cycles, phases, and rhythms inherent in our own inner universe that they may serve our highest good and that we may serve others for their highest good in the spirit of do no harm and do right. So the one, so the other, so our purpose, so our life. Equilibrium is renewed.
Positive consciousness.
In our innermost thoughts, in our heart of hearts, we strive toward positive consciousness, harboring ill will toward no form of life. So the energy within, so the energy without, so the one, so the many. We possess conscious awareness of the universal mind, the universal consciousness, the interconnectedness of all who are. Thus, synergy is created. We pause for a moment to send out positive energy to those in need. We recognize the power of gratitude and deliberate intent, for like attracts like, and the like that we positively intend is the like that we invite and the sum that we receive. We pause for a moment of silence to calibrate our intent, to send positive and deliberate intent out into the universe in harmony with our own unique purpose, so that it may return to us in due time. As the fire of the flame burns before us, so too burns the flame of our passion for doing right, and the fire in our soul to immerse all that is in the light of our positive intent and universal consciousness. May the fire of our essence burn brightly to the higher good of all who are.
The fires for life burn deeply within, joined with the universe. Creations begin. Brightly shining, new thoughts akin, and so it is. The light within, and so it is.
With the quenching of the flame, we affirm the transference of its symbolic light, warmth, and energy to empower the spirit within us as a beacon of light, a cynosure, shining brightly upon the world in the strength of do no harm and do right. We make it so, and so it is. The flame is transferred. And this completes the rite of cynosure for the Southern Solstice, for this year anyway. We thank you for joining in this with us in this ceremony, and our next ceremony will be on or about the March equinox, so of course we'll announce that. So again, to sum up this, this was basically a time to think. Take a snapshot. Where are you at? Where you been? Where are you going? How does that fit in with your own unique purpose and the meaning that you get out of life? Those are all things to meditate on, to contemplate. And it's not a time to beat yourself up. It's not a time to compare yourself with others. It's basically a time to renew your zeal, renew your energy, renew that enthusiasm that you have for accomplishing what you need to accomplish in this life.
You know, there's very, very rarely we come across a story that kind of fires us up, but we really do want to pay a tribute tonight to a woman who has done something pretty extraordinary, but not without taking a few punches, I'm afraid. In Pocatello, Idaho, Daylene Bowden, who was working in the cafeteria, was approached by a 12-year-old girl who was hungry and didn't have any money. So Daylene did what, gee, any woman or mother or other father or human being would do, and she gave the girl a lunch. Well, Daylene was fired from her job. And, of course, it's gone quite viral over the Internet, and she is taking it to task, you know, thankfully. And Daylene recently just recovered from breast cancer, too, and the school paid tribute to her last year. And she's only been there for 3 years. She's well-loved by everyone, but this has quite devastated her. But we commend her, and we are doing our best to acknowledge her on behalf of ICMH and the school. And we really do want to, you know, it's one thing you do something and then you get punished for it and you could roll over and just go away, or you can fight back. And she's standing up for the right thing. She did the right thing and she's standing up for the right thing. And that's, you know, we were talking last week about paying it forward and doing kindnesses, and that's what Daylene is. She's representing what every good human being wants to do. So in keeping with that, I'd like to read number 28, Do no harm, do right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right. Establish the foundation for all other principles. And to Daylene Bowden, thank you for being an extraordinary human being and for standing up. We appreciate you.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, that's such a great topic. Do no harm, do right. And one of the things that my mother told me decades ago is that sometimes it's more important to do the kind thing than the, quote, right thing, unquote. So in Daylene's situation, the right thing would be not to give the child any food. And she didn't do the right thing. She did the kind thing. And so you kind of can see a difference sometimes. Sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes people need our love the most when they deserve it the least. You know, that's doing the kind thing instead of the right thing, quote unquote. And so we need to keep that in mind. Whatever your heart compels you to do, you know, do the kind thing, be kind to others. And of course, these kinds of stories are out there, and it's unfortunate. It's discouraging, or it can be discouraging for the human race, but we mustn't forget that by the same token, there's people like Daylene who do the right thing, do the kind thing, which frankly is the true right thing, and they're out there. So yeah, we see a lot of the negatives in the news. We see a lot of strange people, kooky people, wacky people, whatever, doing, harming others and all this sort of thing. But we can't let that rob us of optimism for the human race. Now, I just said that mostly for me, but y'all can follow along too. I have to remind myself of this too, and it's true. There's a lot of good people out there, a lot of kind people. We don't want to forget that.
You know, one of the things that I do on Facebook, I make it a ritual, is so many times a week I put, there are wonderful people in the world, sharing a post of something extraordinary somebody else has done, whether it's rescuing a moose out of a frozen lake or, you know, a cat out of a manhole or something, or, you know, lending a hand to another human being. It's, we have to remind ourselves that there are wonderful people in the world, and not to be sucked up by the corporations that would fire somebody like Daylene. Now, right. You know, the right thing is to do her job and follow the rules, but that's as an employee. The right thing as a human being, and the humanitarianism is to feed a child. And these can be dilemmas. You know, we're faced with dilemmas all the time, but if we don't remind ourselves that who are we? If we're not going to follow through with what we know and believe to be true. So that's what 2016, as we follow through this next year and recalibrating our energy, I would encourage everyone to, you know, if it's a preference, okay, move over. So, if it's a matter of principle, stand true.
So Zach makes a comment in the chat room, Zach being a school teacher, says in the public school there are often many hungry kids. What of the others?
Yeah.
You know, was it just one kid? Well, you know, that's a good point, Zach. I mean, that's a great point. And now I'm going to throw up all over you. Not you, Zach, but just I've got some words. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute. We have children going hungry in this country.
Yeah.
And that's not, I mean, in the United States and Canada, wherever, but it's all over the world. But let's just focus on the United States for a moment. You know, we have children going hungry. What's up with that? Oh, yeah. I know. We don't have enough money. Why? Because we're spending billions, if not trillions, on military weapons. The whole world is spending all this money and killing each other instead of saving each other. Now, there's a lot of people who identify with me on this. I mean, I'm not saying anything new, but there should be nobody going hungry. Nobody should be without medical care and health care and food. I mean, nobody should. And that's the world we live in. So what we need is we need all of you to step up to, and many of you are, but do the right thing. Do the kind thing. Put your voice out there, you know, educate yourself, put yourself in a position where you can make a difference, at least within your sphere of influence, if nothing greater. And if we have all these people making a positive difference in their sphere of influence, then one day those spheres are going to overlap and we're going to evolve as a human race. We need to do that. We can't let the negativity mongers, the fear mongers, the people, the greed, the control freaks and all those people, we can't let them make our destiny as a species, or set our destiny. We have to set our destiny. We have to be the voice, and we have to stand up for what's right, for our principles, and for what's right for the human race. Now, how do we do that? Well, we can do it in all kinds of ways within our sphere of influence. Now, I'm not telling you to go out on some stupid jihad. That's what the stupid people are doing. They're just killing each other. Yeah, let's solve this problem. Let's kill some people. How much sense does that make? That's stupid. We can do positive by paying it forward, doing the kind thing, and which is really the right thing. So last week we talked about paying it forward, and, you know, I don't recall receiving any emails on anybody, you know, any experience of anybody being paying it forward. If you did send one, then send it again, because for some reason I didn't get it if you sent one. But I'm sure you did. I'm sure those experiences are out there, and I want to encourage you once again to send them to us. You know, we can make you anonymous. We don't have to put your name if you don't want, or just your first name. That's fine, but it builds people up. It lets people know that you're not alone. Isn't that nice to know? You hear some of these stories and you realize that you're not alone. There are other people in this, quote, fight, unquote, the fight for evolving our species. if you hear examples, I didn't think about that idea. That's a great idea to pay it forward sometime. And so we can encourage each other, and we gain encouragement from knowing that we're not alone. It's scary to think that you're the only one and you're within your little area or your sphere of influence that's doing anything positive. But if you know that there's tons of people out there doing it, it strengthens you. It encourages you.
And I'd like to put in here and to encourage the people who are brave enough to stand up, like Daylene. And I have investigated this story a little bit. It was for $1.70. And when she was challenged by her boss, she offered to pay the $1.70. These teachers, the other staff, had fed kids. And apparently there's a rule that, parents can have $11 worth of credits without paying their money. If they haven't, and the staff finds out, they go over and they dump the kids' food tray. I mean, these are ridiculous rules that Daylene is now standing up for. So we can do our part.
It's child abuse.
It is, absolutely. But we can do our part by helping the Daylenes of the world. Dr. Kelly has signed the petition. I have signed the petition. And no matter where you are in the world, sign the petition. Daylene Bowden, B-O-W-D-N. And it's easy enough to find. And it give her that support. You know, tell her it's a rallying. Within like 3 days, she got tens of thousands of support letters and hits on her. On her story. And this inspires her to stand stronger and taller. And trust me, you may not get the support you really want right away when you have stood up for something that you think is right and kind. But you will start to rally other positive people around you who will support that. And that's what it takes. We must contaminate each other with positive support. So recognize the people, who are doing wonderful things. Pat yourself on the back for doing wonderful things. Be brave enough to stand by people who are challenging those who have powerful positions and are trying to have more control and stupid. It's just stupid. I can't. Stupid with a double O.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it is abusive. On all these parts, it's totally abusive. But go ahead, no.
Zach just mentioned that apparently in his county, the board just voted for all meals to be free for students after January 1st.
That's a great start.
That's a great start. So
why can't we feed all these kids? Why can't the schools feed kids? Why can't there be other businesses and other contributors to I know that parent councils are political and you got the administrative, politics, and it goes on down the line because everybody wants to be special. Well, get over that I need to be special crap, because that's what it is, and start to work as a collective.
You're special.
Yeah, exactly. Zach, thank you for sharing that, because that inspires us, here too. And because I do know some teachers, and my dear friend Manon, who is, close to retirement and teaching, she has talked about all these different phases of, the sociology and kids she's seen through, and she takes her job to heart. She's such an awesome woman. And she has fed a lot of kids herself. I know Zach made a comment there in the chat as a teacher. He had shared his lunch with a lot of kids, and my friend Manon, she often brings extra food because some of the kids just don't have it. And every child on this planet, every human being, there is plenty of food to go around, folks, but there's a lot of waste.
Yeah.
And that's just criminal. If we start to take care of each other better, no one would be hungry and everyone would have a home. Everyone would have a roof over their heads. So I just think that's great. I think everybody, all schools should feed kids. Why not? We have the money.
So let's pull another card, see where it takes us.
Well, there's not very often my adrenaline gets up, but on this, it sure does. Well, you know what I just picked? Isn't this awesome? Number 2, and then some, in the wild card.
That's a good call. That's good. Good pull.
Hey, the cosmic at work.
Yeah.
When you've reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch you to true potential. I love that. Okay, so do a little more than is needed and go beyond what's required. Make a positive difference. You can do it. By doing so, you are leaving the wood pile a little higher than you found it. So that's a pretty big message.
You know, we can do that all the time, just a little bit extra. You know, and that in every aspect, somebody does something nice for you. We talked about this last week. Tell them thanks at least twice. If you see somebody in need, jump, act. You know, if you're in the grocery line and somebody needs a couple of bucks or whatever it is, you know, they don't have enough, pay for it if you can. If you see somebody on the street and they need some help, you know, help them if you can. I mean, it's your decision. You have to, it has to be your thing. But, you know, one thing I know, people, and this includes all of you listening and us, everybody, you know, we're all trying to figure this thing out. We're all trying to make sense of this thing we call life that we found ourselves in. You know, we all have those battles within, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, am I doing enough? You know, am I worthy? Am I good enough? You know, how do I compare with other? Most people have all that dialogue going, even if it's just under the surface. And so everybody's trying to figure this thing out, this thing we call life. And by just focusing your energy on leaving that woodpile higher than you found it, you will raise yourself up out of any, you know, any funk or any blues or any depression. But you'll get that energy focused on other people and not so much on yourself. And then you benefit, they benefit. It's one of those expressions, you know, the way that you keep that joy is by giving it away. The more you give away, the more you keep, kind of a thing. So if you can just add a little bit extra and then some, look for opportunities. It's the same thing as paying it forward. Pay it forward in some way and just get in the habit of doing that. But act on it. A lot of times we'll see something and we might feel a little awkward about saying something or acting on it, but just do it. You know, and even if you get shot down by the person like I talked about, I think it was last week, you know, when I tried to give a tip to the fast food worker and she basically shot me down, that's okay. It's not my stuff. It's her stuff. So you keep going on. You do it to the next person. You just keep paying it forward. And if you do, you have a nice experience, just email me, admin@icmhchurch.org, and we'll be able to share that with our listeners.
Well, Bridget's sharing a great story in the chat right now. Thank you, Bridget, for this. During my issues during the summer, a woman helped me, and she was fired for it. I repaid the kindness by helping her to get a better, higher-paying job.
Good for you.
Whoa. Thank you for sharing that, Bridget. See, that's how it goes around. You know, it's like we support each other. That was a wonderful thing that you did for her. And I'm sure in those moments that restored, you know, her faith in humanity also. And you were a good friend. And that's what it is. We're being friends. We're trying to be friends with each other and do friendly things and kind things and, you know, in this collective. So, you know, we can't be as extreme as this one, that a story that I did pick up on about 3 days ago. There was a man coming up to the lineup. You know how big the lineups are, and a woman had all her groceries and he had two things. So the woman said, you know what, you just go ahead of me. And he said, are you sure? Yep, you just go ahead of me, never mind. So he did, but he went around the corner and watching, and she had a couple of young kids and no ring on her finger, he said, and he noticed all this. And she had quite the basket of groceries. And as soon as she was about to pull out her card, he came back in, put his card in, put in his PIN number, and bought all the groceries.
Wow.
And said, Merry Christmas. And, of course, you can imagine the tears, but I know that that's an extreme kind of, not everybody can do that, but what that would do for that woman's life and how she would, that impact of that moment, that this stranger would do that for her. And then Bridget, what you did for that woman, see, and how that grows, because no matter how bad things get, and things do get bad at times, everybody has hard times. But no matter how bad they get, you remember the one who was kind. You always, and that's what we do feed off of. It's really odd, you know. We remember that there's good and kind people. And these little acts that keep going forward and forward, that's the only way we're going to make this world a better place. But, You know, just as a suggestion, this is how I survive life. I sit back, kind of get an objective view of everything, and say, it's all going in my report for when I go back to the home planet. and it just removes me a little bit that I can collect myself and just say, okay, when I go back to the home planet, I'm tattletelling on everybody. And so
it takes a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, it's you gotta, that's the way I kind of, first of all, it helps me to take inventory for a second. I step back, my emotions calm down, and then I can find the humor, because we can't take this place to heart.
Because yeah, Michael says that's going to be a long report.
You know what? It's an encyclopedia set already. So, but that's, it's the good stuff goes in it too. You know, it's like today I was coming around the parking lot trying to find a parking space, and oh, I saw one, and I come around the corner, and there's this lady who had been waiting for that spot. So I just waved her in, said, go ahead, and she's still mad. Like, ugh. And I just started laughing. I thought, lady, I just did you a kindness by not stealing the parking space you were waiting for, because that was the right thing to do.
Good point.
She's still not happy. And that's, I mean, people are miserable for days so they can go be happy on one day. I don't know. But
and it's their stuff, not your stuff. So don't take any of that stuff personally. You know,
can not be my stuff
sometimes, but don't let them, don't take ownership of their stuff. And it doth stinketh sometimes.
Just smile. Just keep smiling. Visualize that report. Okay, more is going in a report. It's just a tactic I use, and it works. But I am actually submitting my report. So I want to say this has been a wonderful ceremony and a wonderful evening with all of you. No matter what you celebrate through the holiday season, we wish you all of the very best, and we wish you great achievements, great successes. Healing for those who need it. We're sending you lots of positive energy, lots of bright white lights. And, you know, we'll see you on the other side. I think we're going to take next Wednesday off, which is the 30th. But we will be back in the new year. And
on January 6th.
Yep, January 6th. You know, with a new program and back doing what we do. So yeah. We'll always be here for you. If anybody needs anything, you know, even if it's, you know, write us a little note to say, hey, can I have some energy, please? You know, absolutely. You know, we'll do that too.
Yeah, and we hope you have, you know, a good remainder of the year. And then next year, make it a spectacular year. That's for everybody. Let's just do that. Yeah. You know, why not? Better than just taking things as they come. So let's be deliberate, positive intent, that deliberate intent, I should say, to make it good. So, all right, we're running out of time almost here, and so we won't be here next week, but the week after we will be. Until then, happy holidays, have a happy new year, and until next time, listen, think, learn, grow, and really, really live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.